1 Corinthians chapter 11. You can find that on page 847 of your pew Bibles. Page 847, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to begin our reading at verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper, for in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if one man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So far the reading of God's word. One of the several passages that Lord's Day 28 is based upon. Page 16 in the back of your Psalters, Lord's Day 28. And you'll notice that this Lord's Day and next Lord's Day are very long Lord's Days. A lot of material is pressed into it, especially because it was the error that was being combated at the day when the catechism was being written, but still for our profit also still today. So page 16 in the back of your Psalter, Lord's Day 28, question 75. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? Answer thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup in remembrance of him, adding these promises. First, that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me. And further, that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and the cup of the Lord as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. Question 76. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? It is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also, besides that, to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit as members of the same body are by one soul. Question 77. Where is Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? The answer, in the institution of the supper, which is thus expressed. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. This promise is repeated by the Holy Apostle Paul, where he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, because we are all partakers of that one bread." Loved in our Lord Jesus, we are in the process of looking at the means of grace. How is faith worked and strengthened in us? And so it's been several weeks ago when we saw in the catechism that the preaching brings us to Jesus Christ and the cross. That's a central event. As the Greeks who came to the disciples with that simple request, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." That is our request also in prayer when we come to the preaching of the word. It is our prayer as we come to the sacrament when it is of baptism, when it is administered. We want to see Christ, Christ crucified. And now also in the Lord's Supper, we desire to see Christ Jesus crucified on the cross, and all the benefits that flow from the cross. There's quite a difference, isn't there, between baptism and the Lord's Supper. For in the one sacrament, we are really passive, aren't we? Our parents brought us, when we were infants, to baptism. And we weren't even conscious of what was taking place. But when we come to the Lord's Supper, we come with an active faith. We come, we hunger and thirst for Christ Jesus crucified for us. There is the other big difference, isn't there? Baptism is once, because one can only be incorporated into the church once. Only once is one made a son or a daughter of God, just as in physical life. But we come repeatedly to the Lord's Supper, don't we? Because we need continual nourishment. We need to be continually fed with Christ Jesus. And if one looks closely at the Catechism's treatment of baptism and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, one will notice that our catechism instructors are basically asking the very same questions on both of the sacraments. How art thou? What is this? Where is it promised to us? So we have our new life in Christ Jesus, incorporated into Christ Jesus. And now we need to be fed and cared for in that new life. The one sacrament pictures our coming to Christ, the other one our staying in Christ Jesus. The one pictures the implanting of the new life, the second one, the growth of the new life. And that's the question that is asked, isn't it, on family visitation? How are you growing in your Christian faith and walk? How do you gauge that growth? Fed in Christ Jesus. Notice we are to show the Lord's death till he come. That is the instruction that Jesus gave the Apostle Paul, and that Paul now communicates to the Corinthian church. That is what the Lord's Supper is all about. That is what baptism is all about. That is what the preaching is all about. Showing the death of Jesus Christ till he comes. Notice with me the symbolism then. Notice, second of all, the essence of spirit, or the spiritual meaning of it. That is the next question, question 77, and then question and answer 78, the institution of the Lord's Supper. Showing the Lord's death till he come. In the Lord's Supper, we have visual instruction. In the preaching, we have audible instruction with the ears. But now with the Lord's Supper, as with baptism, we have visual instruction. We have set before us in the Lord's Supper two elements. Common articles of food. Food is that symbol of the Lord's Supper. Why is food that symbol? And the answer is, just as physical food is necessary for our physical life here on earth, so spiritual food is necessary for our spiritual life. Christ's body and his blood is necessary for our spiritual life. And in the Catechism, we are told that bread and wine remind us then of Christ's body and blood. The bread is broken. And we are reminded of how the body of Jesus Christ was broken. No, not his bones broken, not one of them. But his body was broken in the sense of his body and his soul were torn apart because he suffered the punishment for our sins, your and my sins, death. The bread was broken. Boys and girls, in those days, they didn't cut bread as we do with knives, but it was pulled apart. It was broken. And the wine is red. Picture of the blood of Jesus Christ that flowed from his hands, from his feet, from the scars on his head and on his back. Wine is used as a stimulant also. For the faint and the weary. And oh, how that pictures you and me, doesn't it? Faint and weary in our pilgrimage here below. Always combating the three mortal enemies, sin, Satan, and death. Especially self. How we need, as a person who is faint or weary, something strong to drink. How we need Christ Jesus. And so those two elements, very common elements, nothing special in them of themselves, but used in the sacrament to teach two things. To teach us, first of all, what Christ once did. Do this in remembrance of me, so that in the preaching we hear it, and with the eyes we see it in the Lord's Supper, when Christ is the host at the table. Christ was sacrificed for us. He gave himself willingly, his body broken, his blood poured out for a complete remission of all our sins. We are taught what Jesus has once done for us. But that's not it. We are also taught of what Christ continues to do for us. Really the same as that relationship of the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles that Luke also wrote. Luke, the Gospel, is about Jesus once did when he was here on earth. But the Acts of the Apostles is really a record of what Jesus is continuing to do in heaven through his apostles, through the church. On the Lord's Supper, we are taught by those two elements not only of what Christ has once done on the cross, but what Christ is continuing to do. That is, the righteousness and the spiritual life that he purchased for us by his precious death, those are continuously flowing to us, communicated to us, given to us by the Holy Spirit. What an amazing truth. Do this in remembrance of me, what Jesus once did, but what Jesus is continuing to do by the Holy Spirit, giving us spiritual life and nourishment. How we need that food continuously. We feed on Christ Jesus and his grace constantly. And if we do not feed on Christ constantly, we become very weak or we die. Do you know your need for Jesus Christ to spiritually feed you, to nourish you to eternal life? Do you hunger and thirst for that food more than hungering and thirsting for physical food? Both are necessary. The one for our life here on earth in our bodies, but the other for our life in this world and in the world to come. So we have broken bread. We have poured out wine to remind us what Jesus has done once for all on the cross. And as we partake of that bread and that wine, we do so with all of our senses, don't we? We see it with our eyes, we can smell it with our nose, we can handle it with our hands, and we taste it with our mouths. As we partake of the earthly elements, and they surely strengthen one's body, so certainly, so assuredly, Christ himself feeds and nourishes our soul to everlasting life. In this answer, the Catechism wants us to know and to confess that certainty. Twice that word is used, certainly. Those elements of the Lord's Supper point us to our union with Christ Jesus. Christ makes a command, but then he also comes with a promise. As certainly as we are nourished with earthly food, so also certainly, assuredly, we are nourished by Jesus Christ. Nourished by him daily, not just at the Lord's table every 4 months as we partake, or every 3 months. No, daily as we dig into his word, as he speaks to us in his word, as he speaks to us in the preaching, as he speaks to us in the sacraments. Just as Christ has added a blessing, a promise to baptism. As assuredly as water washes the dirt from our bodies, so the blood of Jesus washes away our sins, so the promise is also in the Lord's Supper, isn't it? As certainly as we are nourished physically with food, so we are spiritually nourished with Jesus our Savior. That's the symbolism. Broken bread, poured out wine. But now the next question. Question 76. What is the essence? What is the spiritual meaning of what takes place there? What is it to spiritually eat and to drink Christ Jesus? To an unbeliever, that must seem very strange. Not only strange, to an unbeliever, that even seems probably repulsive. To hear about eating human flesh and drinking human blood? Boys and girls, in the early days of Christianity, Christians were charged by their enemies with practicing cannibalism. For they said they would eat Christ and they would drink Christ. But of course, the eating and the drinking is a spiritual eating and drinking on Christ Jesus. Not a literal, not a physical eating and drinking of Christ. The bread remains bread. The wine remains wine. We are taught that we feed on Christ, not with this instrument, but we feed on Christ with the heart by faith. As the catechism instructor says, we embrace Christ with a believing heart. We embrace Christ with a believing heart. There's two things that we believe. We believe, first of all, his atoning sacrifice on the cross. You say, how is that different than what we said before? I said earlier, the broken bread and poured out wine point to that death on the cross, but now by faith we believe that that death on the cross is an atoning sacrifice. That Jesus Christ suffered and died in order to take away our sins. That Jesus Christ suffered and died in our place. That Jesus Christ suffered and died so that we might be forgiven of all our sins and have everlasting life. We believe that we are united spiritually to Christ's body by the Holy Spirit. So united to Christ so that his life flows into us. Christ is our head. We are members of his body, the church. We are as close to Christ as flesh and blood of his very body. Where is Christ's body right now? It's in heaven. Can never be separated from his soul. You and I, the body of Christ, are that close to Christ Jesus, united to him, bound to him, glued to him. And in the eating of the Lord's Supper, our faith is strengthened. Do you know your need for that, beloved? Your faith strengthened? Strengthened. Strengthened by what he has done. Strengthened because of our union with Christ Jesus, who is now in heaven. We are assured that we belong to him and that nothing can separate us from God's great love in Christ Jesus. Nothing in this life, not any of our sins, nor even death itself. Nothing can separate us from his righteousness. Nothing can separate us from his life. Nothing can separate us from his love. Absolutely nothing. I need that. I need that as I endure temptations every day and only too often fall in those temptations. I need that because as the songwriter, one of the songs that we sang, doubt replaced by faith. Am I a child of God? Am I pleasing to God? Will he hear my prayers? And yes, the answer is yes. Because by his death and through the work of the Holy Spirit, I am united with Christ Jesus. Do you see, beloved, how active our faith is? Passive when we were baptized, but so active in the hearing of the word, so active in the Lord's Supper. We come hungry and thirsty. And Christ stands there at the Lord's Supper, and he's the host, and he feeds us, as it were, by his own hand, through the hand of the minister. Active faith. In baptism, we were enjoined to the church, joined to Christ Jesus. Now we're conscious. We have life and we're hungry and we're thirsty for Christ. We want more and more of Christ. We can't have enough of Christ. Visible instruction. Not new. That's what God's word says all the time, doesn't it? I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I'm with you. I'll never leave you, forsake you. We hear that with our ears. But there at the Lord's table, we see it with our eyes too. We see Christ. Christ who breaks his bread. Christ who pours out the wine. Christ who says, come, eat and drink without money, without price. Come in faith. Beloved, that is not just four times a year, but what we do at the Lord's Supper is what you and I must be doing daily. Daily going to his word, seeing Christ, seeing what he's done for us, rejoicing in his life that is portrayed to us. Coming in prayer, doing it as families. But what we do in the Lord's Supper is we have a covenant meal. The Apostle Paul has to write to Corinth because what was supposed to be a great blessing, a coming together to eat and to drink Christ Jesus, to be strengthened by Christ Jesus, turned into an unholy thing where they would be filling their bodies with earthly food. Some of them who had plenty and others had almost nothing. Others becoming drunk. In other words, they came as so many individuals and they said, I got my food and I'm going to act individually. The Lord's Supper is a congregational, it is a covenant meal. That is, the congregation acts together as the body of Christ, receiving their life, their nourishment from Christ Jesus. The covenant is not individualistic, but it is organic. And that's why we do not administer the sacrament of the Lord's Supper privately, just as we do not administer the sacrament of baptism privately. But it is done here as a congregation, as the body of Christ Jesus in this place. And that's why the Apostle Paul says to them that we may not partake of the covenant meal without careful attention to the body, to the congregation. That was the evil in Corinth. Each one with their own food, not looking over at the whole, at their other saints, but the one guzzling down his food, another one drinking himself drunk, while there were others who had nothing. A congregational or a covenantal meal. Oh yes, we do come as individuals in there. And we come as individuals looking for our welfare as well as the welfare of the whole. And we come in that supper face to face with Jesus Christ. We come to Christ Jesus then with hungry souls looking for the welfare, our welfare in the covenant. We desire to grow. We desire to be strengthened. We desire spiritually and mentally to be governed by the Holy Spirit, united to Christ, and united more closely with one another. What a beautiful essence. One with Christ and one with His body. The Apostle Paul talks about that, doesn't he, in just the chapter before this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread, one body. Fellowship, communion. By faith, united to Christ more closely. By faith, united more closely together as the body. What a blessing that communion, that fellowship is in the church. We belong to the church not just to show up on Sunday as an individual and then go home again, but we come to enjoy fellowship communion with Christ and fellowship communion with our fellow saints. We love one another. And what a blessing we have in our churches at this time in the peace, the unity of the churches. The classical delegates talking about that in their report to classes. Peace and unity in the churches. Don't take it for granted. It is so easy to take for granted. Don't take it for granted. That is the Lord's blessing. Through this means, we are united more closely with Christ and more closely together. It comes by faith through the hearing of the word. It comes by faith, strengthened by the visual instruction of the Lord's Supper. Well, the catechism teacher says, well, how do I know? How do I know that I must partake of the Lord's Supper as a believer? Where is it commanded? And where are the promises? Where is the scriptural authority for doing that? Now, that's a good question, isn't it? For you will remember that when the catechism was written, much of the church at that time said they had 7 sacraments. We have only 2. Why? Where is the scriptural authority for having these 2 sacraments and no more than these 2 sacraments? And the answer is because Christ instituted these sacraments in the New Testament. Sacraments are only New Testament, aren't they? Yes, there were many feasts in the Old Testament, sacrifices in the Old Testament, type, shadows, but sacraments are New Testament. Christ has instituted it. Where? In the 3 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And now the Apostle Paul says, and I too, what I received of the Lord, that have I delivered unto you. Probably when Jesus met, or when Paul met Jesus and was personally instructed those 3 years in Arabia. After his conversion on the way to Damascus, taught by the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians, he talks about how he was almost taken up into the third heaven. Wonderful, wonderful. But Christ there delivered unto the apostle what he now teaches the church. Do this in remembrance of me. Show forth my death till I come again. And then the other passage that we just alluded to, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Yes, we do note, for it reads that Jesus Christ, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and he instituted the supper. The night in which he was betrayed was the night of the Passover. So there's a connection, isn't there? An important connection. Jesus had celebrated the last Passover feast with his disciples. He had dismissed Judas to do his evil deed. And then he holds the Lord's Supper with his disciples. What is the connection? Why did Jesus do it that night? Well, the Old Testament Passover feast looked forward, didn't it? It looked forward how the Israelites were saved by blood put over their doors. The angel of death passed over them. And that feast that was done over and over once a year looked forward then to that perfect blood, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, whereby death does not come to us, that is, separation from God, but the angel of death passes over us. Yes, Passover feast looked forward, and now the Lord's Supper looks back, doesn't it? We remember Christ's blood shed. We remember Christ's death. And then we do this in remembrance of him. Oh, that Passover feast was a bloody feast, wasn't it? All those animals having to be sacrificed at the same time, offered to the Lord, and then eaten and drunk. Lord's Supper has no blood, has just wine and bread, because the blood has been shed once for all on the cross. Yes, the Lord's Supper is commanded of us, commanded of all believers. Jesus says, this do in remembrance of me. There's one of the reasons, young people, that we want to make confession of faith, don't we? Not only do we love the Lord, not only do we love his church, but we want to make confession of faith so that we can be those who come forward and partake of the Lord's Supper when we have it. For as we read in this passage, the children do not come to it, but those who are able to examine themselves and thus come to eat and to drink worthily of the Lord's Supper. Christ commands us to do it. We want to do it. We want to celebrate. We want to administer the sacrament. Listen to Jesus. Take, eat. Remember and believe that my body was broken for a complete remission of all your sins. Listen to Jesus. Take, drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that my blood was poured out for a complete remission for all your sins. Listen to Jesus. Do this. Show forth my death until I come again. Then we won't need the visual instruction any longer, will we? When Jesus comes again, we will see him face to face. But until he comes again, how beautiful is this visual instruction? along with the audible instruction. Jesus Christ offered himself once for all on the cross for my sins. Jesus Christ communicates himself to me by his Holy Spirit. Won't you say then, O Lord, feed me. O Lord, lead me. O Lord, hold me close to thy breast. Because the Lord's Supper is commanded of us, we may not modify it, may we? We may not try to change it to make it nicer or cuter. We can't replace the bread and the wine with juice or with Kool-Aid or with cookies, sadly, as some churches are doing. No. Christ took bread and he broke it. Christ took wine and he poured it out. And those are the signs that the church is now commanded to use for the strengthening of our faith. Paul says, that which I received, that have I delivered unto you. Nothing more, nothing less. A command. But I want you to see that it's a very gracious command. A gracious command. Some of us might take offense and say, why is Christ commanding us to do it? Because he knows we need it. He says, take, eat. Have this visual instruction as well as the audible instruction, that in your hearts you may firmly believe Jesus Christ was offered once for all for my sins. Gracious command. My sins. My sins. Oh, the bliss of this thought. My sins, not in part, but the whole, are washed away, taken away, never to be held against me. I need that. I need that in the evening after a whole day is spent. You begin the day with prayer. Lord, guide me, hold me, lead me. I want to live a godly life. And as we lay down in bed or before that, we think, what have I done? What have I done? What have I said? What have I thought? Oh, Lord, forgive me. Through the means of grace, the audible and the visual instruction, I know assuredly, certainly, my sins have been paid for, blotted out. And Christ Jesus will, by his word and his spirit, continue to work in me, give me strength to fight the battle of faith, to run the race set before me, to keep the faith. What a gracious command. Come, eat. What a gracious command. Come, drink, all of you, yet. This we do. This we do, first of all, to the honor of our God. For it's his work, isn't it? Beautiful work. He gave his son. And by his word and spirit, he works faith in us and he strengthens us. Honoring God. And we do it for our well-being. I need it. I need that audible word. I need that visual word. That I may be assured. As certainly as physical food takes care of my physical life, Christ Jesus cares for my spiritual life. Christ. How we need the Lord's Supper. How we need this covenant meal, which is fellowship. One bread. Boys and girls, you know how bread's made, don't you? First of all, there has to be a death of the wheat as it's dropped in the ground. And then it springs forth life. And then it has to be plucked. Then it has to be ground. Then it has to be baked. And then there's finally bread. Many, many different grains pressed together, baked together, one bread. Or the wine that we drank. Boys and girls, think of those vines. Big clusters of grapes. They have to be plucked after they grow. Then they're squished together. And you have one wine, one flowing of wine. The fellowship of the Lord's table. May we have visual instruction of our life together. So that there's not bickering between members. There's not fighting. There's not envious feelings, strife. Visual instruction. One bread, one wine, one people of God, one body of Christ. And as we love Christ the head, we love one another as members of his body. Do this, Jesus says. Do this till I come again. Visual instruction. Symbols held before us, common things, but beautiful in their essence and their meaning. Beautiful in the institution that Christ has given. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt work and thou wilt strengthen faith by the preaching of the word. And we're thankful that besides the preaching, we have the sacraments, that visual instruction, the same glorious gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified for us, dead, buried, but risen again. The life-giving Christ in heaven, gathering and building his church and saving them. Bless, Lord, the preaching of thy word this morning. Amen. Let's turn in our soldiers to number 52. Thou preparest me a table in the presence of the foe. Surely grace and loving kindness shall ever follow me. We'll sing all four stanzas.
Oh,
Spirit be yours. Amen.